Thank you, guys. If you would, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4 this morning. In these first few verses of chapter 12, the author of Hebrews uses this metaphor of running. He uses this metaphor of running a race to illustrate persevering in the faith. Now, persevering in the faith is his main point of the entire letter of the book of Hebrews. So this is a very important part of the book. So I'm very excited about this. Now, as I was preparing this sermon this week and I was studying this passage, I had a brilliant idea. At the time, I thought it was brilliant. I decided that I would go on a real run, like physically go running, and that this would like really illustrate my sermon from my own life, you know, circumstances. I would go for a run, and I would be an example of persevering in the race. I would be an example of determination to push through the pain and suffering and endure to the end on my run. So I set out on my yearly run. And I walked for the first few minutes, you know, just to get the rust and the corrosion in my joints kind of broken up a little bit. And then I started to run. And I decided, because I wanted the sermon illustration to be really effective, I wasn't just going to like do a light little wimpy jog. I was going to run. So I started running semi-hard. There's no fast in my life, but there's, you know, I pushed myself a little bit. But it was very painful. And my hips began to hurt, and my thighs were hurting, and this weird thing with my feet where every single toe had pain running through it. It was like a different pain for each toe. It's kind of strange. My head began to throb, and my heart was beating out of my chest, and my face was hurting because of the grimace on my face. So after about 50 feet of that, I said... I said, it's not worth it, and I turned around and went back home. So, sorry about that. I tried. You know, I think running is literally the worst thing in the world. Like, I don't know why anyone would run when I could walk, I could drive, or sit. You know, why would I run? I think people who run must love suffering. They must enjoy pain. They say it benefits your health. I don't believe that, because if I run, then I'm going to hurt for 3 days, and it's that's not progression, that's digression, that's not advancement, that's you know, the negative, the pain and the suffering, and then it continues and it hurts. You have trouble walking 2 days afterwards. So I think, as I'm trying to run, I'm not thinking about anything else but how much it hurts, how painful it is, how difficult it is, and it's just awful, so I don't do it. Now, oftentimes I think that we treat the Christian life like that sometimes. It's painful. It's difficult. Life in general is painful and difficult in this world. And the Christian life, as we run the race with endurance, it hurts sometimes. It's painful. You get a stitch in your side. It takes discipline. It takes perseverance to run the race of faith. Now, to persevere in the faith and grow in sanctification and holiness, it's a painful and difficult endeavor. So what I learned from this yearly exercise, it always happens in January, and then I remind myself I don't like it. The reason why I don't continually exercise is because I don't have a goal. I don't have an objective. I am not looking to my health to make myself more healthy. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about the benefits of fitness, like having a great beach body. Not super concerned about that. I'm not thinking about living longer in the moment. I'm not thinking about the good that it does for my heart to beat faster than normal every now and then. I'm not thinking about those things. All I think about is how awful it is to run. Why am I doing this? It would be so much easier to quit, go home, and sit down on the couch and watch The Office, which is way more enjoyable. So what I've determined is that in order, and those of you who exercise, you have a goal. You have a purpose. You have a reward you're looking for, a destination, something you're striving towards. Now, as we relate that to our faith, you cannot persevere in the faith. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are continually focused on the immediate feelings that you have in the midst of suffering, or if you're focused on the temporary, if you're only focused on the pain and the suffering and the difficulty, you will not persevere in the faith. You must see the greater objective of giving God glory in all things, good and bad. You must look to the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If you don't do that, then you might just quit and go home and despair and go where it's safe and seemingly easy. Now, the Bible calls that apostasy. And that's why the book of Hebrews is written, so that we will continue to persevere regardless of what we face in this life. Let's read the text. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you that you are a God that holds us fast. We thank you that you are a God that enables us to persevere and run this race. We don't have the strength. Your word tells us that apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we look to you, striving towards you. I pray that you will make sense of this text for us today, and I pray that you will be with each person that's here today. Every one of us is suffering in some way or another. Every one of us has trials and temptations that we go through, Lord. I just pray that you will teach us to push through, to endure, to persevere, to look to you in the midst of all of those things, giving you glory all the way. Lord, bless your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we begin chapter 12 naturally flows right out of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And the author signals that by giving us a therefore. When you see a therefore in Scripture, you always look back to see where he's taking us. So the great cloud of witnesses that he mentions in verse 1 is referring back to the heroes of the faith in chapter 11. So he says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses as we run this race of faith with endurance. So the imagery here is that present Christians are running the race, and there's an arena full of these Old Testament saints looking onward. Now, I don't necessarily think, as we think about the Old Testament saints sitting in the stands, kind of seemingly as spectators, I don't think that necessarily means that they are mere spectators, as if they've pulled back the clouds of heaven and they're peering out like cheering us on, like cheerleaders. I don't think they're simply cheerleaders. They are those who have themselves endured all the difficulty and suffering and hardship of this world, and they endured to the end. So we should be watching them through the lens of Scripture as examples of people who endure in their faith. So they are the faithful witnesses who witness to us what it looks like to persevere in the faith. So as we think about them, we remember Abel, his offering of faith to the Lord as he offered up a sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord, is a witness to us. Enoch was a witness to us as he walked with God as an example to us. Noah, who trusted in God with the unseen event of a flood. He didn't have a storm like this to, to think about. He trusted God with the unseen event of a flood to build the ark. Abraham trusted God with his future. By faith, Abraham left his homeland and set out on a journey to a place he did not know. Abraham trusted that God was faithful to his promises, even though he couldn't see them immediately be fulfilled. Moses is an example to us of a man who considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He would rather be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so many others in chapter 11 and throughout the Old Testament who suffered for the Lord and persevered in their faith. They were flogged. They were imprisoned. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were destitute and afflicted and mistreated. They are witnesses to us of what it looks like to persevere in the faith until the end. Because of this, the author of Hebrews goes on and he says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the race with endurance." So first of all, let's be reminded of sin and its danger. He tells us to lay aside sin. Sin will ruin you. Sin will ruin your running. It will distort your thoughts and your mind, and it will confuse you, and it will even take you off the wrong path. So we have to continually, every day, put it off. We have to cast it off. We have to lay it aside because it hinders our race. The Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put it to death. We must have the attitude of making war against our sin. Now, the author calls this sin something that clings so closely. Now, you may have a different translation or a different way that that's phrased in your Bible. Oftentimes, it's translated that sin is something that ensnares us or entangles us. Sin is something that will trip you up in your run. It will make you stumble. It will put you flat on your face. It will ruin you. So sin is always attempting to deceive you and thwart the moving of God's grace in your life. We must put it off. Sin clings closely in this life, that remaining sin that we carry with us until the day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It ensnares you, doesn't it? You have to fight against it every single day because it's trying to destroy our faith. We must lay it aside. The Christian life is a life of daily repentance and faith. Daily. We should not pretend like we don't struggle with sin. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is every day putting off sin, turning away from it, and placing our faith in Christ alone. Repentance and faith is our everyday activity as Christians. Putting away sin, putting on Christ. Taking off the old man, putting on the new man. Turning away from our selfishness and pride and our sin and pushing forward towards Christ-likeness. Put it off. Cast it away. He also says that we are to cast off every weight. So there's sin, and then there's a weight that we are to cast off. Every encumbrance. The author understands that there are things in your life that will prevent you from running that are not necessarily sin. There are things that weight you down and slows down your running and holds you back. We're to lay those things aside. We're to cast off those things. Now, the point here is that the main focus of our lives as followers of Christ is to be running hard after Him. Pursuing Him with everything that we have, with all of our might and everything that we have. And sin prevents us from doing that well. But there are also many other things in our lives that are not necessarily sinful and may be good things. They may be good things in and of themselves, but they prevent us from running the race. They hinder us from running the race. And the author tells us to throw them off. We're to throw off everything that hinders are loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are to throw off everything that hinders our loving of one another, caring for one another, being part of the church as the scripture teaches us to be. We are to throw off everything that hinders our commitment to the kingdom of God and his great commission that he gives us to make disciples of all the nations. We're to throw those things off, whatever they are. I don't know what they are in your life. They could be anything. Now, just to clarify, if you feel like your husband like annoys you and slows down your race, you can't just throw him off, right? You can't just get rid of your kids. As I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, student loan debt really hinders my running. I want to just throw that off. You know, how come that part of the government can't close down, right? There are some things like that are, they're part of our pathway. They're part of our race, okay? That's part of our endurance is paying our bills, working. Can't just not work unless you're retired, right? You love your spouse, even if they don't love you back. You love your kids no matter what, right? Serve them. But do we really need Netflix? And I'm not saying you got to get rid of it. No, I'm not being legalistic here. I'm just saying, like, whatever it is that hinders you. Sometimes I can know so many details about the NBA or the PGA Tour or college football. And I'm like, why do I know all these things? Is this helping me pursue Christ? Or is this hindering me from pursuing Christ? Now, The Office is okay. You can watch that. That's something different. But if you think hard enough before the Lord and you pray, he might just reveal to you some things that are not sinful in and of themselves that you need to cast off because it's preventing you from running the race with endurance. So let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. This is another way of saying persevere until the end. How do we persevere until the end? Well, we got to lay aside every weight and all the sin that clings so closely, the sin that trips us up. But we also have to have the right objective. We have to have the right aim. We have to have the right goal to know where we're going. Because the sufferings of this present life are so hard, so difficult, and so easy to get confused and angry and bitter and all these different emotions that we feel as we go through suffering in this life. So we've got to have a laser focus, knowing where we are running. So verse 2, the only way you can run this race and endure to the end without quitting is this: looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. This word looking, it means to turn your eyes from one thing to another thing. It means to fixate your eyes on this thing trustingly as you gaze upon it. It's not a glance. It's not a once a week look. It's not a wink. We're talking about fixating your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot look in two directions at the same time. That's what this word means. It means fixating our eyes with a laser focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ as we run the race. Now, it's easy, isn't it? Just like my little run, it's easy to start to look to the right and the left. You know what I mean? Like the last couple of years, as I've gotten older, my belly has gotten bigger. I don't really understand that, but it bounces when I run and it hurts. It's painful, you know? And I'm like, why am I doing this? It's so easy to look at how we feel, our emotions, how other people view us. It's so easy to look at, if you watch the news all the time, you're going to be depressed. You know, if you're looking at all these things, the suffering in this life and what your kids may face or are facing and all these things, you're going to get really discouraged and down. You got to spend more time, much, much more time looking to Christ, looking upon Him. Otherwise, we will easily slip off into despair. We will be filled with fear instead of faith. We will fear the unknown. The unknown is pretty scary sometimes. The only way to make it through is to trust in the one who knows the unknown. We start to desire control instead of trusting the one who has complete control. We've got to trust in God's sovereign plan even when we don't have any control. So the way to make it through is to fixate our eyes upon Christ instead of everything else. Well, how do you see Christ? How do you look upon Christ? Well, He's here. He is revealed in the Scriptures from the start to the finish. You want to have a better vision of Christ, a better understanding of who He is? Look to His Word and what His Word says about Him. He has given us this book. We see Christ through His Word. We see Christ through His church. We see Christ in one another. Let us look to Christ. Now, the author says about Jesus, he says He is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Founder means source or pioneer or pathfinder. Some would say it means champion. So as we look back in the earlier in the book of Hebrews to chapter 2, verse 10, the author says the same word there. He says, "For it was fitting that He, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." Now here in chapter 12, Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Here, Jesus' perfection through suffering does not mean that He was ever less than perfect, okay? It doesn't mean that there was ever a time when He was sinful and not sinless. He was always sinless, okay? So that's not what it means. What it means, Jesus' perfection through suffering, it means that He completed God's plan through suffering of the cross. He is the great finisher, the perfecter, the completer. That's who He is. Now, here's the beautiful thing. Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. As we run this race, yes, He is the exemplar of our faith. He is the great example. But also because of His faithfulness to complete His assignment, to follow God's plan with perfect obedience, He has the ability to hold us fast so that we too may reach that completion, that perfection. You see, your race and your end goal, your completion, your finish is not really a thing you can do. It's not something you can just pull up your bootstraps and do. I'm going to do this. No, we are carried along every inch by the very grace of God. When you cross that finish line and He puts that crown of righteousness on your head, when He says, "Enter in, my faithful servant," it's nothing of your own. Every step was a gift of His grace by His power. Every movement towards Him is a gift of His grace, not your own strength. Should create in us the utmost humility. Because everything, every inch that I'm running towards the right direction is a gift of His grace. Praise Him for His grace. He gives you the ability to run with endurance. He gives you both a desire and the ability to cast off weights that slow you down and to put off the sin that so easily entangles you. The author says that Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. this amazing Savior that we have, when he stood before the shame and the suffering of the cross, he didn't see pain. He experienced joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was focused on the joy that was set before him, and he endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, here's the thing about joy. You can have joy in the midst of pain and suffering. Did you know that? Sometimes as you go through things in your life, some of your deepest suffering, you're going to have joy because the Lord's going to give it to you. And sometimes when the worst is happening to you, you have a greater sense of his presence in your life. You know that, don't you? We look to the garden where Jesus was alone with the Lord in prayer, preparing for the suffering of the cross. And he prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Father, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The thought of becoming sin, the sinless one, the eternal one, becoming sin and bearing the weight of sin and breaking fellowship with the Father, that was tough to bear. The Father pouring out this cup of his wrath upon his only Son. Like, can you imagine? That's a level of suffering that we cannot even possibly begin to understand. In the midst of that, Luke tells us that Jesus was in agony as he prayed, and that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And even though he was suffering in that moment, he was totally filled with joy. He tells us as much in John 15 and John 17. He had joy in the midst of that. Not because he was like, "Man, I'm really excited about getting flogged and beaten, you know, and dying. That's really going to be fun." No, he was laser focused, not on those temporary sufferings. He was laser focused upon his ultimate goal, doing the will of God, obeying God and following the plan that God had for him. He was so fixated on doing the will of the Father that he despised the shame of the cross. He disregarded the shame of the cross. He saw it and he disregarded it and endured anyway, maybe because it would have hindered his running. Crucifixion is the most shameful way to die in the ancient world. Those who were crucified were flogged publicly. Flogging is this whipping where they take a leather whip and it's got shards of glass and stone and metal in it. And when it would hit you, it would tear the skin. Jesus was beaten with rods. He was flogged. He was mocked. They stuck him with a crown of thorns upon his head. They stripped him of his clothes and they nailed him to an old wooden cross. And then he hung there as a criminal, a condemned, cursed sinner. People came by and wagged their heads and mocked him, the people he created. He set aside the shame of the cross and endured, because obedience to the Father and our subsequent salvation were his main goals. That was his objective. He died on the cross for our sins. Those of us who have turned aside, every one of us, he died for our sins and bore the wrath of God upon himself that we rightfully deserve. He died, he was buried, and God raised him from the dead on the third day. And now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured faithfully. He persevered through the suffering and the pain, and he received the reward. He is enthroned, and he is sitting next to the right hand of power. Verse 3. Consider him. Wait a minute. Yeah, verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So this word, consider, it means to meditate, to think upon, to fix your eyes, your thoughts upon what Jesus persevered through. He is an example to us. Think on what he endured at the hand of sinful men. Fix your eyes upon him who endured the cross to provide your free pardon of sins so that you may be redeemed. He endured so that you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He endured so that all your sins may be cast into the sea and remembered no more. He endured so that you can receive an eternal inheritance in the kingdom of God. Fix your eyes upon him so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Are you weary today in your suffering and your pain? Are you faint-hearted this morning? Maybe you've slowly taken your eyes off of him. It never happens quickly, does it? It happens in slow, incremental events, times. You know, small little ways you start to take your eyes off of him. You stop reading, praying. You indulge yourself a little longer in sin. Maybe you've taken your eyes off of him. Maybe you've become entangled in sin. Maybe you're so wrapped up in sin that you can't even walk, much less run. Today's the day of repentance. Call out upon him. Turn from your sins. Receive grace and help in your time of weakness. As a follower of Christ, you have access to God. You can boldly approach the throne of grace. Go to him instead of away from him. Turn to him. Or maybe today it's not sin that's got you entangled. Maybe your life is just wrapped up in good things. Maybe you're so busy with other things in your life that you have no time to do what's the most important, the highest priority, to run this race with endurance. Figure out what's holding you back and turn aside from it. Lay it down. Do an inventory of your life. What is helping me run this race and what is preventing me from running this race? What is holding me back from running this race? There is no greater pursuit. There's nothing more important than this race because perseverance is of the greatest importance. And as you run, as you suffer, and as you deal with pain in this life, remember that it's temporary because there's a finish line. There's an end to this race. There is a time when you will cross that finish line and the great victor himself will crown you with righteousness and allow you to enter into his kingdom with great reward. So our striving and our racing and our running is to be like Paul, who said near the end of his life, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." 1 Timothy 4:7. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace in our perseverance. Lord, I'm so grateful that it's not my energy and strength that gets me through. Lord, it's not my wisdom, not my power, not my strength. It's not even my faith. My faith is only as good as the object of my faith, and you are that, Father. You hold us fast. Lord, let us lean into you. Let us have that truth motivate us to run hard after you, to not give up as we feel the pain, but to keep pressing forward, knowing that the will of God is the most important thing, that pleasing you, honoring you, giving you glory is the most important. Let us persevere, God. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us lay aside the weights, good things in this life that may slow us down. Let us keep running the race with endurance and persevere to the very end. God, we love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.